Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, today we are talking about shoes. And if you've ever been in a fight, you'll know shoes matter. Shoes matter a lot. You don't want to get in a fight in flip-flops, right? Seen that go down before. It's just not pretty. Not good at all. And so shoes matter. You know, what you have on your feet can make or break you. I'm wearing these shoes today because I do a lot with powerlifting and work with some powerlifters. And one of the first lessons we teach when someone's learning how to squat or deadlift is I look at their feet and I find out what in the world they're wearing. And oftentimes, they'll come in like with this real expensive pair of Nike or these running shoes, like with an inch and a half sole that's all squishy. And I'm like, get rid of those. Those are not your friend. You want to be on the ground. You want something that's solid, flat, just the flatter the better. And then I realized, wow, it matches my new shirt. So I look so metro or something today, you know, and it just all came together this morning. I'm like, who knew? So it's bad when you match one day and people are like, wow, hey, look at you. You dressed yourself. So that's what happened this morning. But, you know, shoes for different purposes, different occasions, it's important you have the right shoes. Our verse this morning, Paul wrote the armor of God with a Roman soldier in mind. So when we get to the shoe part of this, obviously he was thinking of a Roman soldier. So if you would, Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 13. We're going to get after this. It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So I really want to talk about a few things here this morning. I want to look into this idea that the shoes that it's telling us to put on, it says, as shoes for your feet, put on readiness. So we're really talking about a state of preparedness that we're putting on our feet, or we're putting on ourselves in the morning. It's a state of readiness we're looking for. And the state of readiness comes from what? It comes from the gospel of peace. And the result is it helps you stand firm, or it helps you even move forward or to win a fight. About what it means to put on this readiness, as shoes for feet, put on readiness, and where it comes from and why it's so important. When Paul wrote this again, he had the Roman soldier in mind. And think of this, Roman soldiers didn't run around fighting barefooted. As a large, flat-footed dude, flat, barefoot does not go well with me. How many can do rocks well barefooted? Well, I can't. When I'm told, hey, I got to go turn on the hose in the backyard, there's like just 6 feet of rock from where patio ends and the hose begins. And so the 6 feet of rock, it may as well be 600 yards. Because I'm like, My little nephews are like, hey, I'll go get that. No problem. Me, I feel like they're coming through and destroying me. So, imagine fighting that way. The Roman soldier in his day had a very thick leather sole. And it wrapped around the foot, much like we would see a shoe today, tied around the ankle and attached to, oftentimes, a shin guard, a brass shin guard. What really made his gear good is what they did with the nails. How many have ever played football in here? Football, soccer, any sport that requires a cleat. They help so much. How many have ever played like a pickup game of soccer or football? Like on a holiday, everybody's together, let's play football. And then there's always that one person. Where's Corey? Is Corey here? Yeah. Corey brings cleats. This is a true story. And you can't touch the guy. Why? Because he can grab the ground. Now, let's be honest, I couldn't touch him or catch him without cleats. But let's say that I could. Without cleats, I wouldn't have a prayer. Why? Because you're slipping all over. Well, the Roman shoe had nails driven through the sole, had nails and metal spikes and studs driven through the sole. So they were, imagine a golf shoe on steroids, but looked really mean. And they would just dig into the ground like a very aggressive pair of cleats so they could stand firm. Notice in Ephesians how many times it mentions stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Like three different times. So this imagery of a Roman soldier having something on his feet that allows him to walk over terrain and allows him to dig into the ground and stay where he belongs is kind of the picture there. Now, some important things about the gospel of peace. We're putting on readiness. We're putting on in the morning when we get up, the thing we put on our feet, the thing we go out the door with, the thing we stand firm with, is an attitude of readiness. We're ready for some things. We have a certain preparedness, a mental state, an idea going on when we leave. But it comes from the gospel of peace. There's no way you can ready yourself with these shoes without knowing what the gospel of peace is. This is the thing that changes our attitudes. So let's talk about the gospel of peace just for a second. It's so important. Sometimes religion gets really complicated. What are the rules? What do I wear to church? Obviously, after looking at me today, you're like, anything? what are the rules? What can I say? What can I not say? Where can I go? What do I eat? What do I drink? All this stuff, all these rules. And the gospel of peace, to me, boils down so much, so quickly. It's like this don't leave home without it information. And it's the information that got my attention years ago and has kept my attention for a lifetime. And it boils down to some very simple but complex truths. John 3:16, I think, says it so well. And so when we're talking about the gospel of peace for our purposes today, we're going to talk about John 3:16. How many memorized that verse as a kid? Like if you grew up in Sunday school, you memorize it. How many have ever seen it at a sporting event? Like you see the sign that says John 3:16. I want to encourage you, if you don't know that verse today, underline it in your Bible. It's in the New Testament, about three books in, the third chapter, verse 16. Underline it, write it down, get to know that one. It's important. But I'm going to quote it, and if you guys know it, you can think through it with me, or if you have a Bible, go there. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world." This idea that God loves the world. God loves it. God created it, the Bible talks about. There's no just happenstance. We didn't just happen to arrive. This isn't some cosmic accident. That God made the world, and in that world he created you. The Bible says you're fearfully, wonderfully made. There are no accidents. Every human being you lay eyes on, is designed uniquely by the Creator, known by Him, loved by Him, made in His image. There is something different. There's something different about mankind because you're made in the image of God. You're knit together in your mother's womb. So for God so loved the world. God's not against the world. God's not against humanity. In fact, He's very much for humanity. He's very much for the world. But God is against sin. Sin comes in and destroys, it kills, it separates us from God. Sin is a wrecker of households. Sin's a wrecker of health. It's just not good. You can't find it good. It's pleasurable for a season, but in the end it brings death. So, for God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible's really important here on this point. The gospel's not that we give. The gospel's not that we love first. The Bible says it's not that we loved him, it's that he loved us first. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him. So he gave the very best, that God the Son himself came, walked this earth, was despised, humiliated, loved on people. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This little verse, it explains, it captures so much, the idea that God came perfect to a sinful world and lived a sinless life and gave his life for the likes of me. When I was at my absolute worst, Jesus died for me. When you were at your worst, he died for you. How do we know this? A verse I say over and over and over and again, and I hope you memorize it just by me saying it so much. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Man, the gospel is a message of absolute hope. If you've been in church for a while, if you've been at Crossings, we do communion once a month. We're going to do it next week. And we hand out elements, and there's a bread, there's a piece of bread, and there's a cup of juice. And to me, that's the most stirring time of the whole month, because I really get acquainted with this gospel of peace, that I was once a sinner and God's enemy, and I broke his laws, but God made peace by coming himself and dying on a cross for my sin. And I hold that bread and that cup, and the bread represents Jesus really came and it was broken for me. And the cup represents he shed his blood for me. So this gospel of peace isn't complicated. God loves you. God gave his only son for you. And that whoever believes in him won't perish because of their sin and because of the things they did, but will have everlasting life. Powerful story. It's the most complicated and the most uncomplicated thing you'll ever hear. It's, the Bible says, to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's life. So that's the gospel of peace. God's not out to wipe out the world. He loves the world. He proved that by sending his own son. So, gospel of peace. That's what we ready ourselves with. And that's a powerful thing. So, back to these shoes. How do we put them on? What happens when we put on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? First of all, I want to say it's personal. I want to say that when we put on this readiness that comes from knowing the gospel, it's personal. It's something that you got to get up and do for yourself every day, and it makes you pretty. This is important. How many like being pretty? All right, come on. There's something cool I love about shoes. Even as a kid growing up poor, man, I wanted good shoes. And I did not have good shoes because poor kids don't get good shoes. How many remember Kmart Tracks? If you're in your 40s, you probably remember 40s, 50s. Yeah, I was rocking those. I didn't feel too good about them. They didn't feel good on the feet. And they, you know, when I rolled in with Kmart Tracks, all the other kids knew, like, hey, you're on welfare too. So I scored. My grandfather was the janitor at a middle school. So when I got old enough, like in the third grade, at the end of school, all the lost and found shoes my grandfather would bring home, big box of them. They're going to throw them away. So as like about third grade, I would go to grandpa's house. It was like a pilgrimage, a religious experience. I'd go to the box with my brother, which was a second grader, and we would dig through seventh and eighth graders' shoes they left and find pairs that were awesome. I found Adidas in that box. I found Nike. Remember the Nikes that were white with the, you know, red stripe? Found some of those. Problem was, they were always about three, four sizes too big. It didn't matter. I'd roll in the next school year with my new shoes. And there's something about shoes I like. You know what? My shoes, I've never gotten up once in any morning of my life and my shoes tell me, Trev, you're fat. Never once. My jeans all the time. I'm in this constant battle with my blue jeans. Like, you shrunk. How could you shrink? We've got a good relationship. Not my shoes, man. They're loyal. I throw those bad boys on. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I love going shoe shopping. You put them on. Yeah, they still, you know, it's great. 11 and a half, 12, I'm good to go. They make you look good. There's something attractive about the person that understands the gospel for themselves. It's important that you put that on every day for yourself. The Bible says this about people with the gospel. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those. They're pretty. They look good. I love when little kids, what's the first thing little kids do? If you wanted to have a conversation with a little kid, just do this. Like, I like your shoes. And what do? Every time, then the whole time you're with them, they're going, how many know that's true? There is something about when you put the gospel on, you have something to show off. You look good. There is something about if I get up in the morning and I remind myself that simple truth that I am loved and accepted not by my own works, but by what Jesus did on the cross for me. That God loved me and he gave his son for me and he died on the cross and he lives again. There is something so powerful about that short mental ascent, that thing that tells me that I matter, I belong to God. He paid an infinitely huge price for me. It means the world to me and it makes me look good. It makes you look good. It gives me a confidence I didn't have before. Have you ever been around the person that just tried too hard? How many remember dating that person? I never remember that. I was always the guy trying too hard. But from my perspective, I knew how it felt. There's something about the person that just finally relaxes in the grace of God and says, I believe in the gospel of peace and I'm not at war with God. And there's a beauty. There's something relaxing about being with that individual. Second thing is, shoes make you run fast. It's true. Again, back to our little kids. How many little kids with a new pair of shoes, like, hey, you see my shoes? They make me run fast. How many have ever heard that from a little kid? How many have tempted a little kid? Hey, man, can you run fast in those? And I just love watching them. You know, their feet are clop, 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 clop. Just, I love it. And there's something about the person, we're not only to put the gospel on for ourselves so you look good, we also put the gospel on in the morning. Are we ready ourselves with the gospel of peace so that we can have an impact or we can have effect, we can be fast and effective with the people in our lives. I had to share this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Now, it's really interesting. The word that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 6 with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, put on the readiness, is the same word that Peter uses in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says, always be prepared. Same word. Always be ready. Always be prepared. Have some foresight about you. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. There's something important about putting on the gospel of peace, this readiness that comes from the gospel of peace that It's not just about what Jesus has done for you. It's about what he's done for others. It's about the recognition that you won't lock eyes with someone that God doesn't love. God loves people. Sometimes we don't love people. There have been times I failed at loving people. If you've ever driven to work, you have probably failed at loving people. Live life 24 hours and you're tempted to fail at loving people. But God loves people. One of the prayers I love to pray is like, God, help me love like you love. I'm bad at it, God. You're really good at it. And when it says put on the readiness, it's not just a readiness that helps you, but it's a readiness that helps those around you as well. It's being prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. It's being prepared to share that simple gospel message, maybe simply explaining John 3:16 to a friend, that I know God loves you. This is what I do know. God loves you. He gave his son for you. And if you believe in him, you'll have everlasting life. There may be a billion more questions beyond that point, but being prepared. I know this, when I pause and think about God's love for people in my life, it's hard for me to hold a grudge. One of the things that happens to me in communion, maybe you've experienced this. I hold a piece of bread and a cup that represent two powerful things. Again, Jesus' broken body and the blood he shed. And then I am told and I rehearse that when I hold these things, that Jesus was broken for me and he shed his blood for me, not when I was at my best, but when I was at my worst. That's when Christ demonstrated love for me. And I think of other verses where in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is telling people, discern the body of Christ. And he's basically saying, hey, if you've got something against someone, you better go work it out and forgive them before you're standing there saying, oh, thanks for forgiving me, God. And Jesus tells parables about that. If you go to pray and you're there at the altar with your gift and you've got something against your brother, go square it away, because you have no right to hold something against someone else when you've been forgiven so much. And when I hold that bread and that cup, I'm reminded of that. And when I put on the readiness in the morning, it's like a quick rehearsal of like, okay, I have no right to hold anything against anyone. I've been forgiven so much. How can I dare go to God and say, oh yeah, God, but they offended me more than I offended you? So that readiness helps me. It brings me to a place of perspective, and it brings me to a place of effectiveness with people, and it helps me be ready to share hope with them, God's grace with them. We don't go out into this world to bash anybody or to run around, and the gospel's good news, that God's for them, not against them. And then the last thing I want to share quickly is this idea of when we put on the readiness that comes from the gospel, it's so much more than just God changing our mind about ourselves and encouraging us, or God even changing our minds towards someone else, which those two things are really important. But there's an aspect to this that has an intangible quality. And this can mess some people up, because we like things that we can just look at. And let me point out 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And Paul, in this section of Scripture, is really talking a lot about this ministry of reconciliation, which is basically the gospel, sharing the gospel that God is saving mankind. He's redeeming people. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. This idea of an ambassador, really an important idea. Everywhere a Roman soldier's foot landed in his day became somewhere special. Rome was saying, we have our thumbprint there. And if you were to strike out against a Roman soldier, it was like striking out against Rome itself. That Roman soldier could be halfway across the world, but if he were there and that sandal with the nail studs and the spikes were making imprints on the dirt, it wasn't just his imprints, it was the imprint of Rome itself, and all the power and force and the military might of Rome was exerted there, and that Roman soldier represented it. Even more so, if Rome sent an ambassador, it meant that literally all the rules, all the authority applied to that place. Today's the same. If you were to go to the U.S. Embassy, name the country. If we have an embassy there and you get to the embassy, you are on U.S. soil. All the rules of the United States, all the authority of the United States, all the might of the United States stands behind that soil, even though it may be a hostile country it's located in. You're on U.S. soil. Let's talk to moms for a second. There's something so powerful about the mom that appropriates the readiness of the gospel. I've seen this happen where mom doesn't have to be a theologian but can understand that God's for her, not against her. That God paid an ultimate price for her salvation. And then that same mother can have this same knowledge for her children and present the gospel. But can I suggest there's even something more powerful about that mother that gets up in the morning and puts on this readiness? I believe that mom changes the atmosphere of a household. There's something that smells different in the house. I'm not talking physical smell, but there's a different sense. There's a different feel in a house where a mom has put on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Why? Because that's his ambassador there. And all the authority and all the rules and all of heaven stands behind that woman that says, I believe in the gospel, and I've readied myself today, and I walk in that grace. There's something there that you can't see it, but you just feel it. And I'm not talking they have to be perfect. No mom is. But it's that one that's taken time to acquaint themselves with that simple truth of the gospel. And your kids may run from it, they may rebel, but there's always something that smells different, that feels different, that's just different. And you may look around the edges and say, I don't get it, I don't agree with it, whatever it is, but there's something there like a rock in your shoe. You can't get comfortable with it. It's different. And that different is God calling to you saying, this is truth. The gospel's powerful. But there's this act of readying ourselves. I believe, sure, that as the believers, not just moms, but as believers, when we ready ourselves, it changes things. Today, when we close, all moms, we're giving you an in-route coffee card. Yay! It's my favorite coffee shop in all the world, especially the West Valley. And in-route was started by a couple at Crossings Church named Scott and Bridget. Yeah, I love those guys. They're awesome. And there's something otherworldly about en route. I'm not kidding. I'm proud to say Crossings Church name is not on that in any way, shape, or form. I have fought other churches to keep their hands off of it. Like, let it alone. Let this be what God's doing. Get. I'm like, if we're not going to put our label on, I'll wrestle the person that tries to. No. Let God do what he's doing there. Hands off. Great example. Scott and Bridget show up. I asked Scott last week. I said, Scott, what time do you show up here? Shop opens at 7. He goes, I get here at 5:30. 5:30. I'm like, wow. He goes, and Bridget and I sit down and we pray. We pray for this place. We pray for this day. We just ask God to do what he would do. Wow, that's cool. Most people are worried about making coffee grounds. They're worried about praying over their business. If you've been en route, there's that smell. It's not coffee, but there's a different aroma in the place. There's a feel that's just different. What is that? It's somebody that loves Jesus that put on the readiness that comes from the gospel that says, God, help us love people today. Help them sense you. Can I say that this, to me, of putting all the different pieces of the armor on, this is the easiest one for me to get my hands around. It's the quickest for me to acquire because I can understand that God loves me so much. Jesus came and paid a price for me. And I'm going to make it one day, not because I'm really good, but because he's really good and he's got me. And I put that on for myself and for people I'm around. And then there's something else. Listen, if you know me, I'm not perfect. But when I put this on, there's something else. I love people better. I act better. But there's a different authority that operates in the believer's life that just puts this on. We're privileged to be carriers of the gospel. So today, happy Mother's Day, all you moms. But the greatest thing we could do today is put this gospel on. Ready our lives with the gospel. Whether you're a mom or not, ready yourselves with the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you so much for your great love towards us. Lord, I know that in this room there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of things we'd love to know, but Lord, could we just start with this idea that you love us and that you paid the price for us and that you want to bring us life if we'll accept you. And I pray that today we would do just that, that we would embrace your love for us. With your head still bowed just a moment, if you're here today and you'd say, I want to accept God's love for my life, I want to ask him to forgive me and start this new work in my life. I don't have all the answers, but I want to respond to what's going on in my heart. And I want to say yes to God this morning. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm living. Right on. That's so cool. So very cool. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you call us to have a relationship with you. You call us to follow. Lord, and that you speak to those that you created, those you love, Lord, which is every single person will ever find, Lord. You're in pursuit of them. And I just pray, Father, as we step forward and ask you, Lord, to show yourself to us that we'd find you. Lord, I pray for everyone else here that we would be sure to ready ourselves with the gospel every day. Lord, we just love you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we have baptism June 4th. That'll be here before we know it. If you've ever given your life to Jesus, you've ever said, hey, I'm going to follow him, and you have not been baptized, we would love to celebrate with you in that. When you become a Christian, figure out how to obey Jesus. Get a Bible, hang out with some believers that have been walking it, ask questions. There's no bad question. And one of the things Jesus asked people to do was to be baptized. He talked about being baptized and observing communion. Those are two big things he asked us to look out for. And in baptism, it's a cool time because it's like coming out to the world and saying, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've embraced this gospel. And at Crossings, it's a party. We all bring food. And we celebrate. I think it's just proper. So we want to invite you to that. But if you've never been baptized and you would like to, in front of the church family, say, hey, man, I'm a follower of Jesus. Talk to me. Put something in the offering basket. We'd love to run that road with you. It's so cool. Well, moms, and you know who you are. How many moms I got in the house today? Let's see your hands. Right on. Gosh, there's a lot of you. That's cool. Yeah, give moms a hand. I know what you guys go through. I mean, just if you're dealing with a dude in your life, like, sorry, ladies, I apologize for, sorry, Cindy. Okay. It's hard enough to have kids, and they got to deal with us, too. Okay. When we dismiss in prayer in a moment, the guys have coffee cards in the back. So get a coffee card, hit in route, and we just appreciate you guys. Keep up the good work. Will you stand with me? Father, thank you for moms today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for good news. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bless everyone that's here in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.